Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled, Don't Limit God, was recorded at our 2009 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, as they're receiving the offering, let me just say that this teaching that I've been doing about taking the limits off of God, I believe has been powerful. It's really built me up, and it's ministered to a lot of people. I think that this has been timely for most people, but I've kind of laid the groundwork. I think that everybody who's been coming to these meetings now is pretty much on the same page. They are really blessed and inspired by this, but now it's hard for me because there are lots of things that limit God, and I've only got two sessions left. And I have no idea how I'm going to cram all of this stuff in here. I can't just mention it and not explain it. And so, anyway, I'm just barely scratching the surface. I really would encourage you to get the CDs and the DVDs from these meetings and listen to them again. This is the kind of stuff, this teaching this weekend, I believe, is the kind of thing that you need to listen to more than once. You need a dose of this every once in a while just to get you motivated. Plus, it's a great way to share this truth with somebody else. And it's easier to just hand them the CD or the DVD sometimes than it is to try and explain all of that. So I encourage you to get that. And also all of this other material out here, I could name probably today, this morning, I could probably name five or six series that I've got that will amplify on what I'm going to be talking about this morning. So anyway, that's what all that material is for. All we've done is lay a foundation, and I encourage you that you need to really seek the Lord, because there's a lot of things we do that limit God. So I've been talking about taking the limits off of God. We shared from Psalm 78:41 about how the children of Israel limited God. I've tried to make it clear that one of the biggest mistakes, I think, in the body of Christ is this extreme teaching on the sovereignty of God, to where God just supernaturally controls things. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. That's not true. That you have to cooperate with God. If you don't take your authority and obey and follow what God has told you to do, you can stop God's perfect will from coming to pass in your life. And so if you don't understand that, if you have this attitude that God just by fate controls things and things work out, well, then you're going to limit God. You have to stir yourself up and pursue the things of God to get it. Then we talked about that every person has a destiny, that you've got to find out what that destiny is. You can't fulfill God's will accidentally. That before you were even formed in the womb, you were ordained and equipped to do specific things. And you might be able to prosper and do some other things, but you'll never prosper to the degree that God wants you to. You'll never reach your full potential unless you find out what God has for you. Then we talked about how that fear limits God. And I talked about different kinds of fear. Fear of people, fear of man, fear of failure, fear of success. All of those kind of things limit God. And I've had a lot of people talk about that. Man, that has really rang their bell, that was a word for them. What I want to talk about this morning, and again, this is a huge subject, that there's no way I can adequately deal with this. And this, some ways, overlaps with what I was talking about, how fear limits God. But unbelief limits God. And fear is unbelief, or unbelief is fear. Those things are certainly related. But the scriptures, there are just so many scriptures, I don't know where to start on this. But, you know, if you believe, you shall receive. If you speak to this mountain and doubt not in your heart, it will obey. If you doubt God, then you are going to limit what God can do in your life. And a lot of people don't recognize this, but brothers and sisters, we live in a culture that is full of doubt. To some of you, you understand exactly what I'm saying. To some of you, you're just shocked. Like, oh no, this is a great, great place. Well, I believe America's a wonderful place. I'm not critical of it, but I'm saying that, you know what, we are riddled with unbelief. We are baptized in unbelief, and most churches are full of unbelief. And I'm not against the church. I'm for the church. Amen. But I'm saying that there is a tremendous amount of fear, doubt, and unbelief. If Jesus was to come into our current religious setting today, I guarantee you he would turn everything upside down. He wouldn't last 3.5 years in our religious culture. We'd kill him sooner. We are riddled with unbelief. You know, let me just use Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to use these scriptures and try not to stay here, because I've actually got teaching where I minister on these verses for 4 and 5 times on just these few verses. And I want to say a lot of things this morning, but look at Jesus. He came down from the mountain and they had brought a demon-possessed boy to him, and they sought to get this demon cast out of this boy. Jesus and 3 of his disciples had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they weren't there. And so the father of this boy asked the disciples to cast this demon out, and they couldn't do it. And so when Jesus showed up, the father came running up to Jesus, and here's what he said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, "And when they were come to see the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water.'" Most people believe this is some kind of a thing like seizures, epilepsy, something like that. "And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Now, how did Jesus respond to this? Let me just basically say this. You know, today, if most people went to a church and said, "My son has seizures and he falls and he's hurt himself and he falls into the fire and he foams at the mouth," how would the average pastor respond to that? The average pastor would say, "Well, what if the doctor said? Is he on Medicaid? What treatment?" And that, you'd need to go see a specialist. Let me pray that God will bless the doctors and ask God to use the doctors and give them wisdom. That's the way that most pastors would respond today. If you have a person with financial problems come to the average pastor would say, "Well, have you been to the community care center? Have you applied for welfare? Have you checked out the agencies to see if they're going to help you?" If somebody comes with emotional problems, "Have you been to a psychiatrist? Have you tried this drug? Have you tried this? You know, you can stabilize your emotions by doing this and this and this." The church hasn't accepted responsibility for meeting the needs of people. And so today the average person would say, you know, that we're supposed to be compassionate. We're supposed to show sympathy. We're supposed to say, "Well, God bless you. I'm going to pray for you. Go see the doctor. And as you go, I'll be praying and interceding for you." How did Jesus respond? He said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." Jesus was not politically correct. You know what most people would preach today is that Jesus should have said, "Guys, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have left you by yourself. This is too much for you. This is something I should have been here. It's my fault. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad about yourself. Don't let any guilt or condemnation come." That's the way that people would approach it today. Jesus said, "You faithless and perverse generation. What's wrong with you? I'm not going to be here forever. I'm trying to get you guys to where you can do this." Brothers and sisters, the church is supposed to be the first line of defense against poverty, against sickness, against depression, against all of these things. And the church is not fulfilling its requirement. And if Jesus was to show up today, I believe I'm speaking accurately that the Lord would say, "We're faithless and perverse generation. We live in a culture of unbelief." And even the faith churches, even the spirit-filled churches to a very large degree aren't meeting the needs. Of course, the vast majority of the body of Christ doesn't even believe that God does those things today. But among those who believe that it can happen, they have no handle on whether it will happen or not. And I tell you, this is not the way that God meant it to be. And I don't know any way to express these things without causing some unrest in people. Some people say, "So you're saying that we aren't being everything that God wants us to be? You're saying there's something wrong?" Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And you know what? Before you can fix the problem, we're going to have to admit that this is not the way that the Lord meant for it to be. We live in a culture of unbelief. Outside of the body of Christ, it is terrible unbelief, demonic oppression. There is a spirit of Antichrist working. If you don't realize it, we are living in a hostile environment. Christians are about the only group that it is politically correct to discriminate against. We live in a culture of unbelief. And then, even among Christians, there is a tremendous amount of unbelief. So I'm saying, I could spend hours or days making these points, but whether you realize it or not, we have been baptized in unbelief. I've had bunches of people come this week and say that these meetings are amazing. The atmosphere. People here are walking in love and people are talking about healing and they're believing God. And there's people that are just talking about that, man, it's an amazing atmosphere. When they come to our Bible college, I guarantee you, it's hard for you to walk into our Bible college and not get blessed. There are students that actually come and they're sick, and I guarantee you, they don't have to say anything. We got so many people loving God and seeking God, they'll pick up on it. And somebody will minister to you. If you have a financial need, if you're discouraged, it's hard to leave that building without somebody picking up on it and meeting the needs. It's just an amazing atmosphere because we are saturating it with the Word of God and we're trying to act on what the Word says. And we see a similar thing happen here. This is not abnormal. This should be normal Christianity. And again, we are way below what God intended for us to be. But most people in churches, they go in and there's fear there, there's strife, there's division, they're arguing over the color of the carpet or whatever. Brothers and sisters, unbelief is rampant in the body of Christ, and Jesus wasn't pleased with his disciples' inability to meet the needs.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on taking the limits off of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1060C or DVD series R3204D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album R1060D. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK150 titled Seeing with Your Heart when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get four Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.